All right, we've been talking about biblical financial principles several weeks. This is our fourth week. We're going to keep going for a while, but you know, we can't recap everything. Those messages are online if you missed any. But you know, we just gave an overview just in general about prosperity and biblically, you know, what the Bible has to say about finances. That's a big part of our lives. We all know it. I mean, God has touched on every part of our lives in the Word of God. He hasn't left any holes. You know, He's talked about relationships. He talks about our body. He talks about our relationship with Him, our relationship with others, our family relationships, husband and wife relationships, how we should be on the job. And yes, He talks about money, because that's an important thing. In this day and age, it's as important probably as it ever has been, but you know, the people don't worry about it as much when the economy's booming. They worry about it a little more maybe when the economy does certain things. But we as God's children can expect to have our needs met no matter what, no matter what the economy is doing. So we gave some an overview and talked about some different subjects. We're not going to recap all that. But there are several facets to a lot the Bible has to say about money and finances, and it's not just one thing. You know, it's not just a switch that if you do this, then everything's gonna be perfect. There is a lot the Bible has to say, and we want to keep those things in balance and just follow God's word, and we'll be all right. And so today we're going to talk about stewardship and diligence, just, you know, doing, using what God has given us to the best of our ability. And, you know, we talked last week about being in the right place. Well, you can be in the right place and where God wants you, and then another facet is to use what God has given us. God has given all of us talents. He's given us all gifts, and we want to diligently use those. And the Bible has a lot to say about being diligent and actually working, you know, and doing things like that. And those are part of doing what God would have us to do concerning money. The Proverbs have a lot to say, and we're just going to run through a lot of Proverbs today, you know, in that area. So let's turn back. Let's start in Proverbs 10. 22, I started with this scripture last week. We're going to start here. We'll just start at this scripture, and we'll go on. But Proverbs 10:22. So you're ready to read a few scriptures. They're all close together, so it's not that bad. If these were all over, it'd take us a long time. But Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." We read that last week. And that's the same thing. You know, I just wanted to read that at the beginning because God will make us rich, have an abundant supply. Rich doesn't mean a billionaire necessarily. Do you realize that everybody in this room is rich compared to most people in the world? You know, if you've been to any other part of the world, what you have would be considered rich to the majority of the world's population. So when we say rich, most times we think, used to be millionaire, right? You know, now it's billionaire. Millions not as much, although I think everybody'd be okay with having a few million in the bank. But, you know, back in the early, like the 1900s and stuff, I mean, it was millionaires. I don't know how many billionaires there were, but now you see the list of billionaires, and that means you're mega rich. Well, God didn't tell us we're all going to be billionaires. That would be economically pretty hard. But having your needs met and having an abundant, a full supply, that's rich, and that's what we really want, and to have it in every area, like we've said. You know, it doesn't really do much good to have all this money in the bank if you can't enjoy it, if your legs don't work, or I mean, you know, people are in those situations, and a lot of them, they would give all their money to be able to walk again, or to be able to see, or whatever, or if, you know, their relationships are broken, or if their mind isn't right. We want it to be in balance. God wants us to have the complete package. He doesn't want one of the parts of our lives out of balance. So when he says here, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. He wants us to have an abundant supply and a full supply, but he doesn't want us to be sorry and get to the end of our lives and say, yeah, I got money, but you know what? I have all these regrets as well. He wants us to get to the end of our lives and be happy with the way we lived our lives and not focus just on one thing, any area, whether it's money, whether it's knowledge, anything. Really, if we put him first, we'll be okay. So I wanted to read that first, but now we're going to read a few scriptures concerning diligence and what that has to do with how we're going to do financially. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Let's start there. Now, Proverbs are just chock full of these things. Proverbs 6, verse 6. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." Now, when we're reading these, consider, a lot of these were written by Solomon and a few other people. Solomon was the richest person face of the earth probably when he was alive, and he was the wisest person. Probably there's, you know, I don't know if there's anybody been as wise as he, other than Jesus. Verse 6, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Oh, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man." So it's given us encouragement there. Look at the ant. Look at the way he works. Don't be lazy. Be diligent. Proverbs 4, or 10, verse 4. Let's turn over there. What we do with our time makes a difference. And we're going to talk about giving in a future, but there's some people that get things out of balance. They think it all has to do with giving. Well, give and you'll be rich. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. But that's part of it. There is an element there. But you're going to sit in bed all day and do nothing? Expect to be rich? It's not going to happen. I mean, unless you win the lottery or something. But generally, that's not God what the Bible teaches. Proverbs 10, verse 4. "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Most of these speak for themselves. Proverbs 12, verse 11. Turn over a little bit there. "He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding." So somebody, you know, gets out, works, does what they need to do, gets the job done, he's going to be satisfied with bread. Somebody that goes and chases stuff that isn't going to add to their life at all is devoid of understanding. Proverbs 12, 24, just a little bit further down there. "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Proverbs 13, 4. Proverbs 13, 4. "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." Saying a lot, you know, similar thing there. Proverbs 19, 15. Turn over a few chapters. 19:15. It says, "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." Isn't it amazing how much the Bible has to say about this area? Proverbs 19:24. "A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again." You know, doesn't even want to bring the food to his mouth. He's so lazy, you know, doesn't even want to use what has been given to him. It's right there, and he won't even reach out. Proverbs 20, verse 13. Proverbs 20, verse 13. "Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread." Again, just get out and do with what God has given you. Proverbs 21, 5. Proverbs 21, 5. I like this verse. "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. How many people, we'll talk about this more in another subject, another time, but it says the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. How many people are looking for the quickest way to make a buck or the quickest way to get monetary things? They're not looking. They're not looking at the way that's going to be the most beneficial overall. There's so many people that fall into a pit because they're looking for the quick way. And a lot of people, you know, become, like I mentioned this before, and they become suckers because they're always looking for the best deal, or they're looking, I mean, we all look for how to be, good stewards of our money. But some people are just always looking for something that's just out of the ordinary. And instead of that propelling them forward, it really puts them back because, you know, you're going to save this much money or save that much money. Well, I don't care how much money, how little of a percentage it is off the list price that you're getting. If you're spending money, you're not saving it. I don't care if it's 80% off. You haven't saved anything if you're still spending 20%. And some people buy so many things that they want it. They think they're getting ahead, but they're getting behind. Some people are so looking to get rich or get money that they're gullible and listen to people that are actually just trying to take advantage of them. But what does the Bible say? It says the plans of the diligent will lead surely to plenty. And we talked about being in the place God has for us last week. I mean, all these go together, so don't take any one of these things and run with them. But if you're in the place that God has for you, in the right place, where he told you, where the general told you to go, and then you're diligent about it, you are going to have your needs met. You will. You will have an abundant supply because God has set you there. He is going to make sure that your needs are met. Let's go down to verse 17 of chapter 21. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Again, being a good steward, being diligent with what you have. If you love pleasure, how many people? You've seen it. We all know. And it's fine to spend our money on some entertainment. But some people, that's all they want to do. Be entertained all the time. And it says, the Bible says, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. That means you put those things first. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy life. No. But you put it out of balance. You're not a good steward with what you have. You just think it's all about entertainment or all about having a good time, and there is a part of that to life, but then part of it is just being diligent, rolling up our sleeves, and getting the job done. Verse 20, Proverbs 21. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. Who's wise? People that follow the Word of God. If you follow all these Proverbs, it's been written by one of the wisest people that ever lived. Listen, the people that do what God would say. What is wisdom? There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. How many times? It's a cliche, we've heard it so many times, all of us in here. Now, how many times have we heard about the person that wins the lottery and ends up in the same place or gets a big inheritance, gets a windfall, but their lives have not changed? They have the same habits, the same desires, the same character as they did before. And what happens? That money goes. They squander it. Doesn't matter how much it is. They go through it. Why? Their lifestyle didn't change. Their character didn't change. Their habits didn't change. If they loved pleasure like it was talking about beforehand, they probably squandered it all thinking it's not going to run out. But it does. You know, the Bible says a lot about this stuff. It's not that God knows what he's talking about. He gives us wisdom for every area of life. If we'll just look into his word, we don't have to make wrong decisions. Let's go down to verse 25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. We'll talk more about some of that in a different sermon too, but the desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long. Notice, he's not rich, but he's still coveting. He's still, you know, you don't have to be rich to be a lover of money. There are a lot of lovers of money that don't have anything. Yet all they think about is money. They all day, but they won't work. They won't do anything. How can somebody be a lover of money and be poor? Well, there you go. They can sit there, love money, look at the TV. Oh, I want that car. Oh, I want this. I want that. They won't work. They won't get anything for it. They won't follow, you know, what God has told them to do. But the righteous gives and does not spare. Proverbs 23:21. Just a few more in Proverbs, then we'll go on. Proverbs 23, verse 21. The drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. This is some more admonition. It's again, we keep God first, keep our life in balance. Look to Him. Don't overdo things. It helps where we're going. 24, verse 27. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward, build your house. What's that saying? Take care of the means that is going to make you money first. If it's the field, take care of your work out there, then build your house. How many people have that backwards? Get a job right out of college or whatever, first thing. Get a house, get the car, get all this stuff right away, right? You're saddled with that. Now we're going to build your career. The Bible doesn't teach that way. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, I'm not judging any. We all got to be led in certain areas. But our country and everything as a whole has this backwards. People think they deserve certain things and they're going to get it, and it doesn't matter what they've actually done or what their skills are or anything like that. The Bible doesn't teach that. No, we can go and take care of what needs to be taken care of, and then we take care of building the comfort. Proverbs 27, verse 23. Proverbs 27, verse 23. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. Attend to what you have. Be diligent to know where you're at. Know what you have. Your finances. Know where you have, what you have in your house. Know your business. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the field are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food and for the food of your household and the nourishment of your maidservants. What's he saying? Mind your business. Know where you're at. Because it doesn't last forever. It's the same, it goes with what we said before. Just because you have money, people that get a windfall or something, if they're not in the habit of minding what they have, it's going to go away. If you put it in your context, this person could get a whole flock, or, you know, a whole bunch of livestock and whatever, but if they don't know to mind what they have, they're probably going to, they're all going to die. They're going to kill them off, and they're not going to have what it says you're going to have. It's not going to provide for you. It's the same thing with us. God's given us each abilities and gifts and talents, and we be diligent with that. And then with the things that we get, we be good stewards and diligent to know where we're at. A couple more. Proverbs 28:19. Proverbs 28:19. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who falls for frivolity will have poverty enough. The same thing again. If we're faithful, if we till, if we do what we need to do, you know, mind our business, it says you're going to have plenty of bread. Next verse. A faithful man will abound with blessings. But he who hastens to be rich, there it is again. I mean, how many times have you seen the same type of sentiment? But he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. A faithful man, somebody who's consistent, somebody who is diligent, doing the same things, going about the Father's business, being diligent with your skills, you will abound with blessings. But the person that wants to get there fast. You know, people talk about Brother Hagin, believed in prosperity, which was the things he preached were almost just against the religious flow at the time. His people thought, well, ministers should just be poor, and the stuff that we've covered on certain areas. And he preached a counter message, and one that's based on the Word of God. But they look at him at the end of his life, and he did have plenty of money, had all his needs met. But that man gave it away too. He gave money away all the time, but you know what it come in. But he lived his life like that. It wasn't always like that when he was starting out. And you've probably heard the stories that he used to tell. When he was starting out, it wasn't like that. He lived a life of being faithful and going forward. And yes, at the end of his life, and not just the end, but I mean as he got older, he had all his needs met. Then people look at that and go, why ought to start where he left off? We know the message. It took him a while to get there, but we ought to just start there. And they try to make it happen early. Try to get all the stuff early. Try to get there. Well, if I'm a Christian, if I believe that, I ought to have it. And they get themselves into a world of hurt because they're not getting there over time and keeping everything in balance and just walking their walk out. They try to leap and try to jump. They try to go after the riches too fast instead of just being faithful, just being diligent and with what God, being patient with what God told us to get, and just trusting His Word that these things will come to pass, that He will provide for us, that it will happen. Doesn't say, I mean, look at the language that it says here, a faithful man will abound with blessings. We've read other scriptures. Shall, this will happen. You shall have enough bread. You shall have enough. You will. It's not if and, but God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And if His Word tells us something to do, it will happen, or else He is not true to His Word. So if we'll just be in the right place, follow Him, do these things, we're gonna be fine. And He talks about over and over, and we're going to talk some of the situation just about covetous and stuff. We're going to cover that in another sermon. But that brings a snare. It's not money. It's the love of money. And a lot of this is talking about so much. It's not the money, because the Bible promises you'll be taken care of. It's going to come. God's not against that. It's going after it at the wrong time, trying to do it, putting things out of balance. That's what it's talking about. And it's saying you're going to hurt yourself that way. So let's turn over to Matthew. That's enough in the Proverbs. Let's turn over to Matthew 25. Excuse me. Matthew 25. But God, I mean, that's just in the Proverbs. And that's not everything. But you know, the Bible has a lot to say about these things. Proverbs 25, verse 14. Talking about being good stewards, being diligent, using what God has given us, following His plan for our lives. It's a pretty familiar parable. Matthew 25, verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. He did what he needed to do. He worked according to his ability, what he was given. He used it. Verse 17, "And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Didn't do anything with it. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. He said, so you knew I was like that, huh? Verse 27, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. He says, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, we take this to context, the covenant we have with our Lord Jesus Christ, all right? But he's saying, the point Jesus is making is this master gave talents, gave money to these people, and he expected them to use it according to their ability. And it's so important that whatever we have in life, we don't look to the right or the left, to other people, say, well, I don't have that. I don't have what this person has. I don't have that talent ability. I don't have that background. I don't have that pedigree. I don't have, you know, that education. We look where we're at, look to God, look at what we've been given, look at what he's directing us to do, get in that place like we talked about last week, go where he's told us to go, be where he, in the plan that he has for us, and then be diligent to carry out his plan with whatever he has given us. See, did you notice the man that had 5 talents got the same admonition as the one that got 2? He gave, and why do some people have certain abilities and others? I don't know. I don't know why some people, you know, seem to have 5 and some people, I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that we all have what we have, and we can be diligent with what we have. And that's all God expects, is to be faithful to what he has told us to do with what he has given us. That doesn't mean we can't increase in certain areas. If God has called us to a certain profession, doesn't mean that we just go with whatever we have. We can increase ourselves. We can get education. We can better ourselves. That, nothing wrong with that. That's using what we have and getting more. And to be diligent, like Jesus said. But notice, the ones that were faithful what they had, Jesus said, well done. But the one that just said, well, this is what I have, not going to do anything with it. I'm going to bury it in the ground. You know, the master said, well, why didn't you at least put it in the bank so I could get interest? You didn't do anything with it. And it's not meant to come down hard. It's meant to just admonish us to say, look, you know, God, Jesus is faithful. God is our master. This is a parable of a master, but we're looking to our Lord. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. If we'll just do what he's told us to do and walk that path out and just be diligent to the best of our ability, he'll increase even that. If we're faithful where we are, we'll be more faithful down the line. We'll get better and better. We'll just keep going up. He'll show us new things. He'll increase our knowledge. We'll see where we missed it last year or where we could have done better, and we'll be better this year. It's just keeping on with God, being diligent, just to come back to him. Don't take it and mean, well, I just got to be this utmost perfect person now or else I'm not going to prosper. No, no, it's not some perfection. There's nobody perfect. It's taking where we're at and just being faithful with God and letting Him grow us, letting Him nourish us, letting Him lead us, guide us, and move up on the scale of responsibility. He'll give us our next assignment. He'll give us the next thing, and we will be blessed and prosperous. Let's close with a couple scriptures. Let's just turn to Colossians 3, verse 23. God is so faithful. He's not putting a heavy burden on us, but there are things that He asks us to do. And so if we'll just be diligent, He'll move us up. Colossians 3, verse 23. It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men." Whatever you do, do it heartily. Wherever you are, whatever talents God has given you, wherever the place He has you, just do it heartily as unto the Lord. Be faithful, be diligent, and you're going to be taken care of. God doesn't expect us to be somebody else. He just expects us to be diligent where we are. You don't look at a first grader and expect him to do a 10th grader's work. No, you expect him to be diligent doing a first grader's work. And no matter where we're at in life, and I don't know how all that works, but if and we're not children, but wherever we are, if we are the 5 talent or 2 talent or 3 or 8 or whatever, and whatever we're at in that, in even in that realm, if we'll just be faithful, God will keep moving us up. And we'll be faithful at that, but God will keep moving us up. Be faithful, God will move us up. We don't have to worry about the guy who has more, has less, whatever. Just be faithful, and it'll happen. Amen.